Spoiler alert.
Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yes! Guardians of the Galaxy spoiler.
You demanded it.
You demanded it.
Yes.
Jackie wanted it.
It's here.
It's happening.
I saw it anyway. We might as well talk about it.
Yes, exactly. Right? It's not like you were
going to
wait.
We all knew we were going to see it.
Right.
None of us were like shocked that anyone was going to see this.
Right.
We knew this was happening after when the credits rolled on the first one. We all knew we were going to see the next one.
Right, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, everybody.
This wasn't the Punisher.
No.
Yeah. It wasn't like I wonder. I wonder
first
if I
of all,
get to a daredevil. Yeah.
I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And our guest is the one and only Jackie Cation from
Jackie Cation from the Dork Forest.
And from the Jackie and Laurie Show.
And from the Jackie and Laurie Show. Two live episodes recorded this last weekend. Both of them had exciting live episode glitches where I was the author of both of those issues. But kind of salvaged, whatever.
Where'd you do the live shows?
Portland at Bridgetown Comedy Festival.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so Jackie and Laurie was great, but the audio guy didn't notice that the Zoom, he had plugged it into the board and everything. And either I pressed it or he did. Let there be no blame. But let me just say that the show didn't get recorded through the board. It got recorded through the two top things on the top of the Zoom.
Well, at least you got something.
We got something. So, and anybody who complains about it, allow me to tell you to fuck off because it's free content. I'm so sad that you're sore.
We've had a far worse experience where we were recording on a Zoom. It fell and the input switched without us knowing it. And we recorded an entire episode of silence.
Oh, exciting and new. Yeah,
yes.
The Dork Forest never got pressed record. But luckily, the sound guy, for some reason, had it on backup on his computer and then gave it to me on a USB stick that I then immediately lost. So he has sent me
that
a compressed
fantastic.
Lot of drama. A lot of podcasting drama for something that shouldn't have this much drama. But you know what has a lot of drama? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Now, you had to have loved it.
All right, hold on. Yep. In case we have any new listeners, because we're picking up some new listeners. This is a spoiler ep. We are going to talk about everything in the movie, including the ending.
Which will probably be first we'll talk about.
We're going to talk about everything. Mm-hmm. So if you have not seen this movie and you just fumbled across this, you tripped and fell and happened to have it download to your phone.
Huge reveal as to how Drax can be defeated in battle.
Yes.
That's what we know now.
Yes.
A lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Lot of stuff. So...
why does Groot hate hats? Now we know.
Now we know.
Come on.
So hit the pause button, go to your local Cineplex and see this movie, and then join us right now.
Really, really fun film. Like we were talking about on the regular episode, the first one was lightning in a bottle, but this one was also really fun. Didn't like it quite as much as the first, but didn't matter. Still had a huge fun time at the movies.
I loved it just as much as the first, Maya.
Yeah.
Because... you know, as I was said on the regular episode, you can't, you can't recreate the first time.
No.
So you shouldn't judge the second one as a result of that.
Yeah, that would be hard.
But what did you think this compared to the first one?
Well, first of all, as I think has been established, the only problem I had with the first one was the weird non-literal comment of Drax when Gamora was in the prison. Because I just watched it again. Because what if I was going to miss something? What if there was
I watched
it
again.
Yeah, you
got to
set it up.
And so, you know, when she goes into the prison with them, I've always been of the opinion that she should have been like Rorschach in Watchmen, where you know she was strong, but she wasn't. It wasn't like you people are in here with me.
Yeah,
I'm not in here with you. You're all dead.
Right.
And because she's raised by Thanos. And but I thought this thing was great. It was comic booky in every way. Right.
Right.
Like it was
mm-hmm.
like unabashedly violent. It was it wasn't Deadpool violent, but it was violent. And then it was And then it was super funny and quippy. And then it was also emotionally, like, tearjerker galore without apology.
It was really colorful, too. Like, it was like everything was so vibrant and just kind of like a feast for the eyes. Now, we saw it in 3D. We didn't see it in the...
I saw 2D. 2D was great.
We didn't see it in the... you know, the special laser Chinese 3D.
The Chinese theater, but I saved this for the big budget ones, the IMAX laser 3D.
How much is it? It's got to be $30 to get in.
It's not cheap.
It was $45 for my girlfriend and I to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations on your relationship.
Yeah.
And Graham's seeing someone, you guys.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you, the 3D, I don't think it, it definitely added to it. I think if you saw it in 2D, you'll still thoroughly enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think what I liked most about this movie was just because I fell in love with these characters so much in the first film, I just wanted to see them again. I just wanted to see more and see what else they would do in different situations.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
And it was just the kind of thing where... unless something went horribly wrong, I was going to enjoy the sequel.
Yes.
I just was.
Well, let's talk about the ending.
Okay.
All right.
So,
well, can I do my you know how to defeat Drax now?
How?
You get him on his nipples. He's got very sensitive nipples, you guys. Super sensitive nipples.
Yeah.
I love that, too. The Drax talking about, we learned a lot about him. We mm-hmm. saw, like, his soft side. It comes out, of course, he's being mean, like, saying to Mantis, "Yeah, you're ugly," but then he gives that whole speech of like, "We're ugly people, and we can be trusted." You know, I mean, like, the whole thing was
right.
Beautiful people don't know who to trust.
They don't know who to trust. And I was like, "Oh God, once again, he comes back to these painful things. Like, you can't forget." And they did this well in the first one, but they expanded. We got to know more about him. His wife and kids were killed.
Right.
So
right. He is a ball of rage.
He's a ball of pain.
Yeah.
And pain that comes in the form of rage, and right below that rage is just gut-wrenching tears.
Yep. Right.
And but then the scene
that's what I thought when Mantis was touching him. I was like, oh, is she going to hit that pain? She didn't, which was a nice twist. She hit the comedy first. She hit the laughing, and then later she hits the.
And they all have different pain too. Like, you have Gamora with her sister. And you have Rocket with, like, the experiments that happen to him. And you also then Michael Rooker's character, the with
Yondu.
Yeah. And you learn more backstory about him and what actually happened with him keeping Quill on the ship instead of delivering him to his father.
That's a great line.
There's a lot of great stuff in there for sure.
You find out his dad was just awful.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, you think Kurt Russell is the great savior, and he's got this beautiful hippie planet, you know.
Right.
And
except for his name was Ego. So if you got any sense of history, you're like, why is he a guy? And then all of a sudden he shows up and you're like, oh, he's a planet guy.
Yeah.
But it makes, just to go, let's dive right in and just tell you that how great is it? Because the Celestials are not planets in the comics.
Right.
They are something else, right? And if you don't like the cinematic universe changes, I'm sorry, I'm unmoved. But the thing about them, it almost makes sense that the Celestials would be
planets.
Weren't
the Celestials in the center of the planets?
They weren't.
And then Galactus, when he would eat a planet, he would actually be destroying a Celestial?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
now
that's
going,
a thing.
Really going into the long box.
That sounds like a super long box dive. Do it. It's as far as I know, because I've never read any like specific stories about the Celestials, and my Galactus knowledge is light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's what it is, you know. But we can. You want to talk about all the stuff coming, or do you want to just talk about how great the movie was?
Both.
Well, let's get into the specifics though. Of since this is a spoiler app, let's get into what did you guys think of the ending?
Now, the ending you kind of saw coming. Obviously, there was nothing else you could do except they had to destroy Ego, the planet.
They're going to blow up the planet.
Now, and this is one place where I thought it did get a little bogged down so much in the green screen and effects and CG, and I'm like, oh, it was almost like sensory overload, because then you have everything that's going on inside the planet. Then you have another swarm of ships come in after that. So I'm like, I don't even know what to look at, and especially in 3D, it was a little.
Oh, the Sovereign?
Much. Yeah, the Sovereign.
Yeah,
so I thought
that was another layer of plot that wasn't necessarily needed, But it was interesting.
It definitely kept it interesting for sure.
The whole point of Sovereign, obviously, from the stingers at the end, mm-hmm. was like, oh, Sovereign, they introduced them for somewhere down the road.
Adam Warlock? Right. It's just to get Adam Warlock into their world? the guy in the cocoon is Adam Warlock. Okay. He's the gold dude.
Now, Adam, who is Adam Warlock, for those of us who don't know?
Okay, well, I don't know a lot about Adam. I tried to look a little into it so that Adam Warlock was a genetically modified. This is Adam Warlock. He was in Guardians. Wait, is that Adam Warlock? Yeah.
Jackie brings comics to the show.
Right.
She's the only guest we have that
does
this.
Props.
And that's why we love it.
It's an audio program. Although we got video today. And it's Guardians of the Galaxy. He was Adam. He turns into an evil guy named Magus eventually.
Right.
But the Sovereign, they were just a political group in the comics. They were just just another faction.
They didn't
right?
have their own ships?
No. And they weren't gold and they weren't
gold
like the
supermodels.
Yes. No, they were not gold supermodels. But Adam
Warlock
was.
They were like
Warlock
gold
was.
Elves.
Yeah, they were very much gold elves. And then Adam Warlock was a created, genetically perfected thing. And so Sovereign has been created in the cinematic universe as a thing that is genetically creating things that are great.
Right.
That's a scientific term, when you genetically create things that are great. But Adam Warlock, he's clearly going to be in the next one, and I don't know. And then at the end of it, of course, with the other stinger has the Guardians 3000, right? Well, that's who that team.
That's Sylvester Stallone's team.
Right, Stallone's team, which is Starhawk.
That's a whole nother set of Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
That's the 1969 that's the 70s and 80s. That's the actual Guardians team, and Yondu was on that team in the books.
Right.
And then then in, I think it was 2000, whatever it was, Abnett. It was Dan? Dave? What's Abnett's first name? Dan Abnett, I think. In 2008, brought the Guardians, made a new team out of it with Star-Lord and Rocket.
And Groot.
That's where I started reading it. And then
this Guardians team that we are seeing in the cinema hasn't only been around since 2008.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the new iteration of the Guardians.
So I think we're going to see the classic Guardians, I guess, probably in the next movie.
And they'll probably stick them in Guardians 3000. They'll probably, which is why I'm sure other people noticed, but Vance Astro, who is essentially a 31st century Captain America guy, he has Captain America's shield. And here's Mantis. Anyway, so here's Vance Astro, right? So that's Vin Rames. Rames? Is that right?
Bing Rames.
Mm-hmm. Bing Rames. And so he is Charlie 27 and Charlie 12. Charlie 27.
Right,
yeah,
so
Charlie
they introduced all of them towards the end of the film.
Yeah, so we're going to be getting them set up for the next film for
sure. Yeah, so clearly something's happening there. And the weird thing is that Starhawk character Sylvester Stallone plays is actually an amalgamation of two characters who were step-siblings, fell in love, ran into a hawk god, and got turned into Starhawk. And it's a woman. So in the comics. So Starhawk.
I couldn't even follow that, what you
right.
just said.
How crazy
alone,
is that? And Miley Cyrus did the voice of Mainframe, right? Who is the talking robot head in the bottom of it. And Drax was originally green. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-mm.
There you go. And had a Widow's Peak. Anyway.
Nice.
No, sure. Right. I brought The Death of Captain Marvel. Do you guys ever read that?
So, no? Not yet, no.
No? Well, Jim Starlin, he drew Captain Marvel with his head small.
So now the movie, like, when I think of Marvel movies now, I always think when I see, like, an older actor like Kurt Russell, I know, there's going to be a scene where they're going to CG him, they're going to Benjamin Button him and make him younger.
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, in the beginning, they showed him, a young Kurt Russell.
And they gave him his Disney movie hair, that big one when he was in all those Disney films.
That was Escape from New York hair. That was
right. That was an Overboard. He had the feathered locks of the 1970s. He was the Charlie's Angel of boys.
Yeah.
little note. Now we've talked about this also on the show. This little side fact: he played minor league baseball and is in the documentary "The Battered Bastards of Baseball" about this minor league team in Portland, Oregon, that his dad, Bing Russell, owned.
Mm-hmm. Bing Russell.
Yep.
Who names a kid Bang? No one.
But a
Microsoft.
Bang.
Microsoft.
So the yeah. we guys do the ending. Let's talk about so the ending.
Yes.
You guys felt like there too much stuff was introduced.
I actually felt it was just a little bit too much like CG. Like I kind of got like I lost the characters a little bit.
Well, I can't even remember. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it ended. It ended with them killing Ego, right?
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That seemed a good ending.
But yeah, I mean, there's nothing else could have happened unless you're going to set up Ego being in the next film. So, but other than that, I mean, it's still, I think that was the only place that I really felt like there was almost like too much.
There were a lot of characters for people if you didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ravagers coming for the funeral.
But and stuff like that I really liked because those to me, even though those were still big CG set pieces, all the ships with fireworks, it still felt like they were grounded character moments. Like that, and that's what I liked. So that's what I thought Guardians does the best. You have this big budget CG spectacle, but you also have these wonderful character moments, and a lot of times they can even blend together.
Well, that scene, the Xandu Ravager funeral, was everything you're talking about. So, especially in the laser 3D, it was spectacular visually. It was unbelievable. Yeah. The lasers are like
you actually were seeing fireworks.
Yes, they're coming right at you. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then the thing I love about Guardians and. It goes into the, because these characters are all so flawed. They have such, and they're all of their flaws come from immense pain.
Just the killing spree Nebula goes on to, and then she's hugging Gamora. I was like, wait, she just killed 35 of Kirk from Gilmore Girls' best friends, and we got to, Sean Gunn. We got to go with... And now we're supposed to be sympathetic? And I was. I was sympathetic.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, and the scene of like, first it shows, so Xandu was fairly two-dimensional in the first one.
Yandu, sorry.
No worries.
You're thinking of Xanadu.
Xanadu, great movie, a roller skating nymph or whatever she did.
Guardians of the Roller Rink, you're thinking of.
It's a roller rink, fantastic movie. But so Yandu was fairly two-dimensional.
In the first movie?
In the first one, which was fine. He was just introduced. He's kind of good. He's kind of bad. Okay, great. Mm. You see where Star-Lord gets his...
He has a magic arrow.
Right. That was his...
Magic arrow that he runs with his heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. That he runs with his heart. In this movie, you see, oh my God, the reason he had such a soft spot for Star-Lord was because he was protecting this kid.
Right, because he had killed millions of other children.
Millions of other... He, as much of a pirate as he was like... I've helped kill millions of children.
Yes.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
And it gave up, he lost the Ravager code. I mean, that scene with Sylvester Stallone is like, you broke the one rule. He did all of this stuff because.
And he's like, you're not going to listen to me because I tried to. Yeah, he didn't realize he was doing it.
Right.
And nobody would hear him out. So.
No one would hear him out. No one wanted to listen to him. And as much so as, and then even the kid that he
Honor
saved.
Among thieves.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even the kid that he saved turns his back on him.
Right. Yeah.
And yet at the last moment, he does the ultimate right thing. He gives the ultimate sacrifice. As a father. Of a father.
Mm-hmm.
And a flawed life of a... But he also was like, there's so much... This movie, these films, why they're so amazing is they like deal with like slavery and child abuse.
Yes.
And like, this not just like, I was bitten by a crazy spider and I have
Except
powers.
Except for that when you read comic books, they talk about slavery and child abuse.
It's all in there.
It's all in there, which is why there's so much heart that you can pull out of comics if you're willing to do it.
And
clearly James Gunn. Yeah.
He's able to do it. And this is where it just goes to show you could make a popcorn movie that has a little bit of depth to it. And you know, no one's going to a Guardians of the Galaxy movie expecting to see Sophie's Choice.
Right.
But, you know, one
but
of the things
the
when
second
these movies...
layer of Schindler's List is there.
Yeah.
And I'll take it.
It grounds the characters and that makes you like them even more because they're not just cartoons that are fighting for 2 hours.
How in the world, if you told me, Graham, you're going to emotionally bond with a CG raccoon.
Right.
No, I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, when you tell me, he's a fucking crazy... freak show.
It's
a genetically modified
experiment that people and everyone makes fun of him and hates him.
And he's alone and he was called a trash bandit.
Yeah.
Yes. And and so is that better?
No. And all that stuff. And Star-Lord, who's the big cool guy. saw his mom die, never knew his dad, was raised by fucking pirates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gamora and her sister, like, you saw the sister fighting in the first one. Why
yes.
they're okay?
Yes.
Their dad picked them against.
And we find out that they are Thanos' children only because he killed their entire families,
right?
And then he took them. Then we find out that he made them fight as kids, of course,
fight each other.
Yeah.
And then whoever lost a limb.
Piece. Yeah.
And so that's why Nebula freaking hates her.
Yeah. And you see Nebula, and you understand Nebula's pain when Nebula would say, "I just wanted a sister. You just had to keep beating me," and it was like, oh,
yeah.
Now, everybody understands that sort of sibling stuff.
What
you
do you
know?
Think?
Unless
like,
you're an only child.
Like when you hear a story like that, where every time I lost a piece of me was replaced, like you never get the sense of like, well, how much organic material is left? How much is and how much is
she
robot?
She said that her brain was replaced.
Like,
and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Are you complete robot
yeah,
now?
What
or
just
what?
Happened to yeah. your brain? Where? Don't introduce a brain into
right.
a plot.
It's not like
and then
Cyborg
not tell me
where
you
can
went.
Kind of see. Okay, flesh metal. It's like
yeah.
for her. I'm like, well, I don't know. Was everything replaced? Because when she gets hurt, you see like it's kind of like that weird.
Oh, the
clicking and mm-hmm. and getting her back like a Terminator robot
right.
puts back together.
It's very much an exoskeleton kind of situation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I have a question for you,
yes.
Chris Mancini. Mm-hmm. The children. Did you bring the children
I
to
did
this?
Bring the children.
You did?
Yes, they did. And they loved it.
Did they?
They both really
what
enjoyed
do you
it.
Think about how violent it is?
Well, I think the thing about it is with these movies, I think Disney is very careful to hit a very, very specific threshold of violence where it's still exciting, it's still fun, but it's also cartoony to the point where it never looks too realistic. And I think
that's... Those floating bodies in space, that's when I thought, my 10-year-old niece is not coming to this.
Right.
That's what I thought. Even though...
Yeah, my 12-year-old and my 8-year-old, they were both able to handle it for sure.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things where you kind of start to trust like the Marvel and Disney brand. Like, you know, at some point, like, the violence is never going to get past a certain point.
It's not Deadpool violence. Somebody asked me if it was Deadpool violence.
Exactly.
And
it'll
said,
never be that. No.
It's not that.
No.
And it's but it is that, but down ratcheted down a notch.
It's between Ant-Man and Deadpool. Yeah. You know, those are the yeah. violence kind of thresholds. You have Ant-Man, which was pretty much almost PG. And then you have, like, you know, I thought Captain America...
It felt like Rogue Civil One. War, is what
Rogue
it felt
One,
like.
Yeah, and that's where the threshold.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
I think that's kind of like where the threshold ends.
All Quiet on the Western Front is a little more violent than
yeah,
Rogue One.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that Rogue One is All Quiet on the Western Front.
But if you compare them, you can see that like PG-13 violence threshold is pretty much the same. You know, there's not a lot of blood and guts. There's
Mm-mm.
there's death and action, but
right, but it's not blood
see,
and guts.
You don't see entrails. You don't see
right,
you know,
you don't see splatters.
Right.
Blood, you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's Disney. It's Disney death.
It's Disney death. Hashtag Disney death.
But you bring, you bring up a good point, which is that scene of like all of the bodies floating is like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is gnarly. Like, this is a gnarly galaxy. This isn't a like fun loving. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh,
we're jewel thieves. It's like
right.
this is
right.
this is pretty.
It's
brutal.
Intense.
It can get dark.
It
yeah.
can get super dark.
It can get dark in the universe. And not one scene with the Nova Corps at all.
Nope.
Nope. No Nova Corps. I think they get mentioned once.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah,
it.
You
don't
want to go
them.
Back to... Yeah, you don't want right. to... The weird thing is like the current Nova run that I'm reading right now, Richard Rider has come back to life, but there's some sort of problem. Like he's kind of like a zombie or creepy or an undead mm-hmm. or something's happened. And...
He's like a Nova Pet Cemetery kind of thing.
It's a pet. It's a
Nova Pet Cemetery. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it has Fred Gwynn in it.
Yeah. Christ on his throne, no.
But all of the Marvel movies have that. Remember that scene in, I think it was Iron Man 3 or 4 where Iron Man has PTSD and the kid.
It had to be 3.
Yeah, there's no
yes,
4,
yeah.
right? There is
right.
no 4.
Not yet.
Even though Civil War and the new Spider-Man both look like Iron Man 4. Even though Civil War, it was good that Captain America did the, that he resolved the thing in the end.
Right.
Anyway.
I thought Captain America, probably Winter Soldier, was probably the farthest I'd seen the violence threshold, because that was where it looked like the most realistic and the most brutal. And as far as like that, when you know, when you've got somebody flying into helicopter blades and things.
Oh,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of where. All right, this is where
the saddest one has got to be the second Avengers movie, to the point where it's my least favorite of all the movies now.
It makes you too sad?
No, I was irritated. I was like, okay, this is.
Which part made you sad?
Well, the fact that they raise the city and then drop it.
Yes.
And so all those people die, and then the ripple effect of that has to be dealt with in continuity now, obviously, even though Joss Whedon, I think, was just pissy. And Joss, call me. It's okay. I don't know any of these people. Did you see Steve Agee? Was in it?
Yeah, where was he?
He was one of the Ravagers. He was the one who tried to crush Groot with his foot.
Oh.
He wanted to stomp on Groot.
That was
stomp
awesome.
That was a lot of makeup. It was hard to pick people out, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Well, I wanted to talk about, too, the relationship between Gamora and Star-Lord. So I was
the unspoken relationship.
I thought it was kind of cool. I was almost getting to the point of like, just
is this moonlighting
enough? Yeah, Sam and Diane, like, let's just fucking,
well, his references,
they even reference
so,
it
right
yeah.
Yeah, his references are so they could be a little ham-handed sometimes. And but it all paid off with the Hasselhoff and the soundtrack and the
Hasselhoff thing.
Oh, that was
so brilliant.
It was great.
So funny.
And the Zune.
But let me ask you this: in the comics, what is their relationship between the two of them in the comic books?
And with David
Non-existent.
Hasselhoff,
non-existent. No, Star-Lord and Gamora are not an item to my knowledge.
Never.
I do not believe so.
There was never a meet cute.
Aaron, you want to look it up? See if it was. I don't think so. I don't know. Certainly not in the Abnett run. It's. Yeah.
So then, all right. So how did you guys? Because that was the one area I was like, that was starting to feel like, just come on, man, you guys.
Well, you knew it was going to happen sooner or later, and then, but like, yeah, what you're saying is like, all right, well, it's okay. I guess we're going to be waiting to the end. This is going to be at the end of the movie.
Right. And the thing is if they do this, if it isn't initiated by her, it will be weird.
Right.
Just because she's more broken than he is.
Right.
I genuinely think that. I mean, he's got his mom died, and holy crap, that whole thing when you find out that Ego put the tumor in her,
right,
you're just like, oh, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And
that was awful. Your dad killed your mom because he's been murdering babies
and
over the galaxy.
And obviously
and
murdering the women.
And he's also disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Right. Because none of them have had the celestial spark until this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he's like, oh, I got one.
And now,
now
you don't want to rule the galaxy with me? This is ridiculous.
Right.
Right. I liked, because as soon as he said it, you could see the stars fade out of his eyes, which, of course,
he got back to his,
he was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And then it was great writing. You know, it was really great writing on a human level of finding reasons for people to do these things.
And we've said this before with these big budget movies, but it bears repeating, especially with this one, is there's fantastic acting. They're actors on a green screen soundstage. You're just running around a green funhouse,
right,
and you have to emit all these serious emotions and everything like that.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of times you're not even reacting to another person. It's either somebody in a suit, or it's not there at all.
Right.
So do you, but let's go back to that, Jackie. So you're right. It would have to be initiated by her because she's, as you say, she's way more broken than him. She doesn't know how to love. All she knows how to do is kill.
Yep.
And she also was like, this guy's a playboy.
Right.
I'm not going to be one of a thousand girls.
Right,
so
right.
Fuck this.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
But not.
He's flirting with the Gold Queen girl.
Yeah, he's flirting with everybody.
Right in front of me. Yeah.
Right in front of me.
He's like, it's like that guy in Torchwood. Anyway, I don't know if you ever saw that TV show, but.
He was omnisexual.
He certainly was.
Yes.
He was a gummy bear. He was willing to go with anybody. He was like, you can just.
A gummy bear?
Yeah, he's just going to squish me around whatever part you want to be squished into or around. And you're like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Live it up.
Captain Jack Harkness.
That was it, yeah. Captain Jack.
But one of the things I want to mention, too, is how perfect was Bradley Cooper as Rocket in both these movies,
man.
Where it's a weird thing where you think how many people they must have just auditioned to get the right... To get the right character and the right voice, and you know,
the artists,
you wouldn't have thought Bradley Cooper wouldn't have been at the top of the list, but he's so perfect.
He's perfect, and the art on this is amazing, just because the amount of emotion that what Graham said, who cares? It's a talking raccoon. Why would I ever give it?
Why
to
would
anybody?
I ever care? Oh, yeah. The art on it is amazing, but also as you said, Chris, Bradley Cooper. He conveys this emotion of this tormented genetically, bizarre thing that...
Yeah, experiment.
Experiment.
It comes to genuinely, you think there's really a frickin' walking around raccoon.
Right.
That is real.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think it's a person. And as opposed to Groot...
Yep.
Baby Groot in this thing, it was
and also,
just right. milking the teat of cuteness.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God,
oh,
so
I
cute.
Get it.
And I love the fact that they kept calling back that, I'm not a raccoon.
Right. Yeah.
You look exactly like a raccoon from Earth, but I'm not a raccoon.
Oh, my God. The Howard the Duck stuff.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
It was great.
But how about this, in one of the buttons at the end, the teenage Groot, who's
hilarious. I think that was one of my favorite jokes in the movie.
It was so, it's Stan Lee with the Watchers.
Yes.
Which was, I love that.
That was hilarious.
Wait, I got more stories to tell.
Yeah, Stan Lee boring the Watchers.
Yes.
How is that possible? And yet... And I wrote down the different...
You wrote down all the stingers?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you see Jeff Goldblum in the credits, too?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum.
Where was he?
And he was just dancing in one of the little squares on the right. He wasn't even in the movie. He's in the upcoming Thor movie.
Yeah.
Ragnarok.
That trailer
in
IMAX 3D looks
what?
Great. Looks great.
Oh, my God. I might have to go...
So what were all the stingers?
So there was Kirk... Who isn't Kirk? His name is actually the hell's his name? It was Klarnish or Kluck. What did Sean Gunn play?
Craiglin.
Yeah, Craiglin. He was working the arrow, so he's working the arrow,
right.
And then he accidentally shoots Drax.
Right.
And that was just a stinger. That's just a regular. That's not telling us anything.
Right.
Stallone getting the team back together, so.
Yes.
The diamond guy, the Matronix or whatever his name was.
Matronix?
I don't know. It's Miley Cyrus did the voice of the Mainframe, the robot head.
Really?
Yeah. And weird thing about Mainframe from the comics, and I just read this. I mean, I didn't know. Andy knew, my husband, who I'm married to. He's a long box. I'm married to a long box. There's a dick joke.
I'm married to a long box.
And Mainframe is the Vision. The Vision morphs into Mainframe and runs a planet in the 31st century in Guardians of the Galaxy 3000. So that's who Mainframe is.
You know, Rob Zombie was in this movie, too?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he was one of the Ravagers.
Unseen Ravager.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. So in the Adam Warlock character that we see at the end with the gold people, with the Sovereign people. In the comics, he wasn't made. He was genetically made. So this looks like he might be a robot, but we don't know what I don't know. And then...
Well, they said they had, genetic
pods
that's
what they
grew people. So
he might be just a people.
Yeah.
That's been genetically...
I didn't know this, but if you look at Seth Green was the one who played Howard the Duck.
Yes.
Yeah. He always does the voice of Howard the Duck.
And then Michelle Yeoh as Alita Ogord.
Alita, who is the other half of Starhawk.
Oh.
So it's the Sylvester Stallone character and Alita turn into Starhawk.
Yeah, they didn't get
and
that
they
together.
They are like foster siblings or something, mm-hmm. which...
So like Wonder Twins powers. Activate.
Except for that there was a love interest between them, which is why I insist on saying that they were not related in the comic books. They were just raised together.
Just fired up that Michelle Yeoh is going to be in the next one, I guess, kicking ass.
You wouldn't set up an entire new team if they weren't going to use them again.
No, they might.
They might be in Infinity War. Who knows?
Infinity War sounds like we're...
They're going to have everyone
pain
there.
Pain in the ass, quite honestly. Teen Groot. No, those were all the ones I had.
Yeah.
And
I'm like all for just, I love that James Gunn was like, yeah, five stingers.
We're just going to keep shooting movies.
And people dancing on the side.
And people dancing on the side, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And I love the Jeff Goldblum thing was like, oh, that's so rad. Because
we haven't even seen him yet in the new, he's coming up.
We just saw him in a trailer.
I love how dumb Groot was. Groot's just dumb, just keeps going back and not getting the fin. Oh, just going right. and not getting the
really
fin.
Funny.
And going.
It was like 10 minutes of not getting it. And they're like, no, Groot.
Yeah. I'm like, you're going to, wait, we're still doing this
too.
Joke?
Yeah. And
it's
still funny.
It was that thing that was funny and then not funny and then funny again.
Right. Yes.
You're like, what?
Yeah, that was...
And that's why you don't like hats?
Right.
Come on, because they make the head look weird. Yeah. It's...
Well, what else in there?
So what do you want to wrap up with Guardians? What do you want to see, Jackie, in the next Guardians movie?
Well, for me, you know...
Other than what was Starhawk and his...
Starhawk and his crew?
And his crew, yeah.
That's... I don't know.
And his Expendables?
And his I know, the Expendables. I liked Red better. What happened with Gamora and Star-Lord?
As far as I can tell, they were never romantically linked in the
That's what I thought.
So they're going to get romantically linked.
I think they'll get romantically linked, but I don't know. James Gunn is great. I mean, he's obviously a huge fan and like...
Right.
And he's surrounded by giant nerds. So we got to love that, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, no, just pull that weird dude out of the... Because Sean Gunn's character, that's a real character. He was just a merc. He was just a mercenary soldier dude in the book. So that's a real guy. And I like that he's like, there is no character too small.
Right.
You ever see a Curse of the Were-Rabbit?
Yes, I have, actually.
Curse of the Were-Rabbit is amazing. It's a Wallace and Gromit rabbit feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stop action, right?
Yeah.
And a stop action movie, correct me if I'm wrong, takes a half
forever.
A day.
Forever.
Forever, right? There's no joke too small that they didn't go, no, we're going to spend a half a day putting cotton candy on the bad guy's head.
Right.
And you're like, yay! So that's what it feels like with James Gunn, where he's like, we can use, because the Marvel Universe is so big that it could be anybody. I don't know. It just makes me go, well, they can do anything. Like the Nova Corps could come back.
Right.
They could do...
Nova Corps also in the comics gets destroyed, and Nova is the superhero
last.
That goes to Earth and becomes, at some point, Iron Man's protege. And then he's pretty much says, you know, well, no, I'm the last one because the Nova Corps helmets is where the power is.
Right.
And so we haven't even expanded anywhere from there. At all yet.
Right, Richard.
We still have a Nova Corps in the movies.
Right, the Nova Corps is essentially if you're a DC.
It's the Green Lantern Corps.
It's the Green Lantern Corps if you're DC. So that's all that Nova Corps is. But instead of giving rings, they're given helmets.
Right.
And, yeah. So.
The other thing, too, I want to say about this movie is.
We didn't talk about Mantis at all either.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about Mantis. But like, so this movie is set to the Mixtape 2. Which, that was the thing I loved because coming out of the first one, I was like, is the 70s and 80s music going to get old in this one? No.
Yes. Yeah. I am so sorry. You know that Lakeshore song? Because I bought it yesterday and I've been listening to it nonstop for the last 2 days. And that song is terrible. I was like, there's something soothing about Lakeshore Drive as a topic, because I'm from Milwaukee.
Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, in Chicago. But I was like, wow, this song is boring. Wow, the late 70s has got some real shit music going down.
But that's the greatest thing about it is they used just enough of the clip, in my opinion, in the movie to where I was like, oh, this is awesome. And it fit as you were expanding on the characters.
Well, you knew music was going to be a big part of it.
You knew music was going to be a big part of it, but they didn't, in my opinion, they didn't just like, we're doing the music gag again. They did different songs.
Yes.
As we were learning more about everybody.
They were a little bit on the nose, like the Father and Son song by Cat Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's on there.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't Cats in the Cradle. that would have been maybe a little too
Oh my
much.
God, a little too sad.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you. Some of the songs are pretty sad, but I wish there were other songs that could have been more upbeat. I mean, there was good Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what was
Got
Fleetwood?
The Chain.
The Parliament Funkadelic, whatever.
Flashlight.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great song.
So there's probably four songs that I liked, and then there's like six songs that I'm like, skip.
But let's talk about Mantis, though.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on Mantis, Jackie.
My thoughts on... Well, I don't have a... I mean, my weird thing about... Like, I looked up Mantis, and then I was still lost because I don't know where she comes from. They don't have a lot of backstory. Can you check, Aaron, on backstory on Mantis?
From what I read last night, she was in the comics. She's a human who's been modified
with the antennae.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the movie,
and she didn't work for Ego. Obviously, got pulled out of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She just got pulled out of
Marvel lore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the wiki, and they're this one, and yeah.
Well, the thing...
But her skills were crazy bad.
I loved her skills. And again, her skills helped further the...
Character development.
We learned more about the characters mainly because of what she was doing.
Yeah.
You know? And that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And I love the Gamora, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do not touch me. Like, you are not reading my fucking emotions. I love that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Their deepest secret, not a chance.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Because she has so much pain underneath her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the shit she's had to do.
Right. And, I mean, like, her biggest secret, Jesus. Like, what
would
could
that,
it,
I know, yeah. What is this big secret?
Star-Lord secret, it's going to be played for funny.
Right.
Yeah. And Drax, it's going to be eventually played for pain and
it'll
sadness.
It'll start silly.
Yeah.
But then it'll go with pain.
But, you know, she's, yeah. And then the rest of the team doesn't touch Yondu or any of those people. But they added to the team.
You can't touch everybody.
But there was that one scene, though, where she does kind of inadvertently touch Gamora.
Yeah.
And Gamora has that sort of, I was blanking on what her, she had this like kind of bizarre, like Mantis said something. I'm forgetting what it is now.
Huh.
But she said something kind of like, oh, you're feeling this. And then Gamora was like, oh, no, I'm out.
Yep.
Like she caught it.
Oh, right,
no psychotherapy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, there was a little bit. And I like that... that she had actual powers that were helpful to the team.
Yes.
Yeah. To fight Ego. That was good. And I liked that Ego was a planet and that they made it into his face.
Right.
So it looked like the comic.
Yep.
Well, the other thing that I love, too, is Mantis also fits into the... she's another... The Guardians are all...
Orphans and
misfits.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And here's Mantis.
The team is. Yeah.
She is another orphan misfit who is like captive.
I'm sure that happens too with the other Guardians team. As
oh
well.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm sure when we get into those backstories, they'll be just as
messed up.
As messed. Yeah.
Right.
So what do you guys think? Closing thoughts. Now, will anybody else see this movie again in the movie theater?
I might go to the Chinese.
I would.
And see it in 3D.
Well, no, that's laser 3D. It's even better.
IMAX,
than
that's what I laser 3D.
All right, I might have to hit that.
I would.
That's
do
fine.
It. Because even for the cool 3D trailers of like Ragnarok and everything else that you get to see.
Right, right.
Those are worth it.
Yeah, they're. Man, that Wonder Woman trailer looks amazing. I waited off. Okay.
The movie poster for Wonder Woman looks like she's pregnant, though. From a distance, she's holding her shield, and I was just like riding my bike, and I was like, oh, what is she pregnant? I was like, oh, that's the silhouette of her shield. It looks like the silhouette of a woman that's like 7 months pregnant.
She is pregnant with an important mission. Yes. And that's what women talk about it as. Their missions are talking about being pregnant with,
you know, I really
with purpose.
And I really want Wonder Woman to be good. I want this movie to
Me
be
too.
Good.
Me too.
So I'm hoping.
I want DC to pull its head out of its ass and make a good goddamn comic book movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
That'd be amazing.
I feel like they could have cast a woman with more defined arms.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Super interesting. Yeah.
Well, I've heard a model.
I've heard that from some women that are like diehard Wonder Woman fans are like, oh, man, she's too skinny. They need a strong.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, somebody like that. Right. That's like, that looks like an Amazon. That's a tall, strong.
Serena Williams.
Yeah. Somebody.
That would have been amazing. I mean, but who knows if they can act. Yeah. This woman, And granted, it's a superhero movie, so they don't have to, even though Marvel raises the bar on that, too.
Yeah,
yes,
they sure do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, because these are all people acting, it turns out.
I'm looking forward to getting the next box set. I get them in sets, you know, the Marvel Phase 1, Phase 2.
Oh, do you? Do you get the cases?
I get the cases, yeah. So I'll get, like, Phase 3. I'm looking forward to all the ones coming out in that one. So, all right. And any closing thoughts?
Yeah, it's a story of family. I think that it's an interesting, you know, how like everybody, it's the family you're related to, it's the family that you create, and it's the fact that family, you can add new members.
Well,
you can add new members.
James Gunn said, he said the first one was about becoming a family, this one was about being a family.
It's another Vin Diesel family.
Space family.
You turn your back on your space family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
so, all right.
I like it.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy, there you have it, the spoiler app.
No new tape, though, for Volume 3. Do you know why? Because Ego killed her. She would have been another great mixtape, but nope.
Nope.
So, what's going to be the musical hook for the third one?
It's going to be the Zoom.
Whatever's on the Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
300 songs.
Oh, yes. That was the other cool. That was the other cool thing in the ending was that he gets the Zoom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And that was the whole theater started laughing at that because those came out in like.
I have a Zoom. If anyone needs that or my mini disc player, I'll hook you guys up.
And because you can always get them repaired if they go out.
I actually didn't want it to be a Zune. I wanted it to be like a another Walkman that they'd gotten at like a garage sale.
Mm-hmm. Like a CD, like the disc?
An actual Walkman.
Another tape one?
Yeah, a cassette one. I didn't want it to be I wanted it to be a cassette player. But the Zune was a funny laugh, so I was like, I get it.
Zune got a good laugh. All right, Jackie Cation, where can people find you on the World Wide Web? Shows coming up, your podcast?
This will come out later, right?
Yes.
A couple days?
All right, well, I'm here in Los Angeles this week. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama next week doing the Birmingham Comedy Festival and then Bloomington doing the Comedy Attic the week after.
Nice. What are the dates?
At Jackie Cation, God knows.
Okay.
Why don't you go to JackieCation.com?
Fair enough.
And fucking look.
Why don't you use Google and a fucking pen and paper? How's that sound?
Do you live in Bloomington? Why don't you look on their site?
Yeah.
Their site.
Also, you and Lori will be at the Los Angeles Podfest Festival.
Right. Yeah. Live Dork Forest and live Jackie and Laurie.
How about it?
By then, we will have learned how to record them. That'll be
even
great.
Better.
We'll make sure it gets recorded correctly.
I know you will. Podcast festivals, you guys, this isn't a hobby.
It'll also be the first time that Laurie's ever been in the festival. First time that Laurie and Jackie show's been in the festival. Dork Forest has done it a bunch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it'll be cool. So go to lapodfest.com. Also, you can...
check out the Patreon.
Check out the Patreon, guys. Mm-hmm. Support the show. Patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
Yep. We're always looking for new patrons.
We are always looking
for new patrons. And we're almost at our first goal of 2 spoiler eps a month, so please get us there, and then we can concentrate on the other goals of growing the company. We need your help to do so. This is a partnership.
Yes. So thanks for watching.
Thanks
you, Jackie Cation.
So
thank you, Aaron.
Thanks so much for the support, especially all the people that have become patrons and supported the store. Much appreciated.
Awesome. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.